The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do Messianic Jews tend to be free grace believers? And what is the role of the Old Testament law for Messianic Jews? Hi there, welcome to Grace in Focus. So glad you've joined us today. If you'd like to know more about the Grace Evangelical Society, please go to our website, faithalone.org. And now with our discussion about Messianic Jews, here is Bob Wilkin, along with Ken Yates.
This is Ken Yates, and I'm here with the Jefe, Bob Wilkin. We got a couple questions that are related from John and Joe, and I did not make those names up.
Okay, those are real names.
Those are real names, and no, their last name is not Smith. Both these questions deal with Messianic Jews.
And I say messianic.
Messianic.
It could
potato,
be.
Potato.
I know. Okay. You're from Kentucky, so what can we do?
John's question is it common to find messianic Jews who are free grace? And then I just want to ask both questions at the same time. And this one is from Joe, talking about a pastor who's influencing his grandmother. And he is a messianic Jew who's a pastor, and he's got his grandmother thinking she has to keep the whole law, including the holidays like the Passover, because he's telling her that the Gentiles passed over into Judaism when they became believers. And so I guess the question then would be, what role would a messianic Jew, for example, have on the law as far as sanctification or something? So these questions are connected. What do the messianic Jews think about the role of the law, and would they be free grace?
Okay, let's take the second one, it was the first one you read about are they free grace, and my answer would be some are, most aren't. It's like evangelicalism in general. If you're dealing with an evangelical pastor, let's even say it's a Bible church pastor, some are free grace, most aren't. Most people today in evangelicalism hold to some form of lordship salvation, right, or work salvation.
Right.
And so the same is true within the Messianic Judaistic movement. Is the majority of them are going to be preaching some sort of lordship salvation message. Here's what they all say. If you're a Jew who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, that's what you believe. But as far as what you need to do to be born again, there's going to be a lot of variety on what they say. But they all say Jesus of Nazareth is the long-promised Messiah.
He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament,
right?
The one the Jews were waiting for.
Now, if they had John's understanding of what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah, then they would all believe that by faith in Jesus, they are eternally secure.
And they would be free grace.
They would
by
be
definition.
Free grace, yeah. Because
right.
John 11:25-27, Jesus says he's the resurrection and the life. That he who believes in him, though he may die, he's going to live. He's going to be given a glorified body and be in the kingdom forever. That's a statement of eternal security. And so is he who lives and believes in me shall never die. A living human who believes in Jesus is secure forever. He's got everlasting life. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And her answer is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. And so she says, I know you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that's also found in the purpose statement of John 20:31. So a correct understanding of Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, means you're free grace, means you're born again. But most people today, when they say Jesus is the Christ, they simply mean he's God's anointed one. He's the one sent from God. But they don't mean that he guarantees my eternal destiny simply by faith, right?
And so a person could say, I'm a messianic Jew, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe that as a result of that, if I am truly saved, I'm going to continue to live godly or whatever the case may be.
Right. I mean, they could be Arminian. They could say, I'll lose my salvation. Or they could be Calvinist and say, there's two types of Calvinists today. One kind of Calvinist says, if you don't persevere, you prove you were never you know, a true believer in the first place. The other kind of Calvinists like Schreiner and Cannaday and Piper, they all say, oh, no, you're initially born again by faith alone, but final salvation is gained by perseverance. And you must persevere and run the race with diligence to the end in order to win final salvation.
And I have to say, I know we've talked about this on other broadcasts, but that's the biggest bunch of gobbledygook I think I've ever heard.
It is.
You know, that I'm initially saved, but then there's a final salvation. It makes absolutely no sense.
Right. That's why there are some people who Mike Leake calls flexible free grace people who say that as long as I believe Jesus is my Savior, I am eternally secure, even if I don't believe I'm eternally secure. Well, to me, that's the same problem. Because if I believe he's my Savior for now, then I don't believe he's my Savior forever. But the whole point of John 3:16 is whoever believes in him will never perish, right?
It's not an eternal thing.
He's secure for now, but he could lose it in 10 seconds.
Well, I like what you said about the Messianic Jews here, even though I got to admit in my career in the military and stuff like that, I don't remember running into many of these people, but it makes sense to me that this group of people we would call Messianic Jews would probably have various beliefs among them. And so if you were in a Bible church, for example, any Bible church, and you ran into somebody and they said, oh, yes, I'm a Messianic Jew. Well, probably what we're talking about is whatever that church believe, that's probably what they believe. So if they were in a Bible church that was Lordship Salvation or whatever the case may be, there's a high probability that that's what they would be.
Right. And your second question, I can't remember who the second questioner was.
It was from Joe.
Joe. Okay. So Joe's question illustrates that not all Jewish people who believe that Jesus is the Messiah would hold to everything he's talking about here. There are lots of people who are Messianic Jews who don't require, let's say, worshiping on the Sabbath. They don't require Yom Kippur or Passover or anything else for sanctification or for justification. It sounds like this pastor is saying, at least for sanctification, all these things are required, maybe even for justification.
Yeah,
right?
Joe does not get specific, but that... from what I'm reading in the question, that this guy's telling his grandmother she needs to keep the law.
And by the way, didn't he say something about the whole law?
Yes.
And then that's a load of gobbledygook, too. Because the law had three parts, right? The moral, the ceremonial, and the civil. Well, I guarantee you that his grandmother is not giving 10% of her grain to the storehouse in the temple because there is no temple. I guarantee you she's not offering animal sacrifices because there is no temple to offer animal sacrifices in.
And I guarantee you she's not keeping the civil law. For example, the death penalty for for certain sins,
right?
You know, and all these other things that are
or
spoken
you're,
of.
You're, you know, if a woman is... on her period, she's unclean for 7 days?
Right.
No, I don't think anybody's keeping that anymore. And there's all kinds of things in the law. You know, you would be unclean if you touched a dead body. Well, you know, if she goes to a funeral and she happens to touch a dead body, is she unclean? No. And, you know, the thing about if you're working a mortuary, you'd never be anything but unclean, right?
Well, the other thing about this is it goes back to the first part of this question. There's wide views, obviously, of Messianic Jews on what a person must believe in order to have eternal life. My guess is, and you can correct me if your experience if this is wrong, there's a wide differences of opinions on how to keep the law or the importance that the law might have in the life of a believer. You know, do I keep the Passover or is that just a preference? I can. Do I do the Seder? You know,
right.
What do I do? And so would be a wide variety.
All right, well, to give you an example, I know Arnold Fruchtenbaum. I've been around him on a number of occasions. We're both members of the pre-trib study group, and he's spoken there before, and I've talked with him. And he holds the view that church-age believers are no law, are not under the law of Moses. And that includes Jewish church-age believers. But I did hear him say on one occasion that the Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. And so, since Jews are the physical descendants of Abraham, they're still required to circumcise their sons on the eighth day.
Now, did he say this is just Jewish believers?
Yes, just Jewish believers, not Gentile believers.
Oh, wow.
But the Jewish believers are required under the Abrahamic covenant to circumcise their sons, and it must be on the eighth day. Otherwise, if I understood him correctly, that would be sin.
And could he do that at the local hospital?
You know? I don't know. I don't remember him saying if they had to go to, what is it, a Moyle, the type of rabbi that does the circumcision. I don't remember him saying that. But my point is, there's a wide variety. But, you know, Paul says we're no longer under the law, and he's talking about the law of Moses. We've been set free. Remember in Acts chapter 9, Peter has this vision and three times take and eat.
Sure.
He says, I don't eat unclean foods. He didn't want lobster, right? He didn't want shrimp. Right. He didn't want bacon. Why? Because that's the way he had been raised under the law. But God changed that, and he taught Peter that. And so today, we're not under the dietary restrictions, too. But I bet your money that this grandmother is probably being taught the dietary restrictions.
Oh, yeah. The way the question is asked, it certainly seems that way. And when we put these two questions together, it seems to me that we could say a Messianic Jew could be free grace.
They could be.
And they could even look at the law and say, you know, that's just a great culture. I'm going to certain parts of it. For example, I'm going to, in my house, I'm going to celebrate Yom Kippur just to memorize it.
Sure.
Or something like that.
Or Passover's fine.
Right.
You can celebrate. We're not forbidden from doing
that. Right. Not as a requirement.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just think, gosh, there's such a wide spectrum of where a person could land on this if they claim to be a Messianic Jew.
It's kind of like asking me, are all Southern Baptists free grace?
Right.
Some are, most aren't. If you were to ask me, you know, any of these kinds of questions, and as far as the law, even among non-Messianic Jews, there are Gentiles that worship in these kinds of places
like
and
the,
that practice this. And, of course, there are Seventh-day Adventists that don't practice all of the law, but they do worship on the
Hebrew roots,
seventh
people.
Day.
Yeah,
Hebrew roots, that's a whole new movement.
Exactly, right.
And I don't know much about it, but I've heard it's kind of cultic, isn't it?
That's my experience with them,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much for Joe and John, and keep grace
in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. That's faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, how can hell be just? Would God really send a person to eternal punishment in hell? That's the next episode, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.